Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifter Radio with Dr. Michael Rice, the Forgiveness Doctor. And today we had said that we weren't going to take calls because we thought we were going to be running simultaneously with WWNN, but we're actually running two different shows. So, yes, we're going to start where we left off yesterday, doing the purpose work. And the call-in number is 646-200-4169. And welcome, Michael.
Hey, isn't this awesome? I finally figured out bilocation. I get to do two radio shows at the same time. I've been working on this for so long, and it's cool to finally get there. Unfortunately, the other show is my recorded voice. It's not me actually bilocating. So if you're listening to WWNN at 1470 on the AM dial, that's not really me. It's just my voice on tape. So anyway, hi, sweetie. I'm just driving up the road, and we're, you know, the magic of technology. I'm in the car on the phone, and we are on the radio all over the globe through Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to Carol for setting up this station and welcoming us to be part of it. It's awesome to be able to create support for everybody in the country and in the world that wants to tap into these tools of forgiveness that we're working with. It's just an awesome blessing for us to be able to take this 5 days a week. You know, it used to be that when we left the city, we were finished in that city, and it was if the support group didn't start up or get going, then unfortunately, there wasn't support for people. So now we get to support you, and that's what we're here for. And we're delighted, and our commitment and our goal is to be on the support team of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So if you're about learning forgiveness and want to take your life to the next level, and in doing that process, we're just delighted that you're here. Welcome to Forgiveness Radio, to Mind Shifters Radio.
Awesome.
So, Jeannie, is there any activity that we need to do anything with in the chat room? Or
We don't have anybody asking questions yet, but we do have David on the line, and we've got several listeners just hanging out either on the phone or in the chat room. And so
awesome.
Ready to
awesome.
Go with
welcome.
Purpose.
Glad you're here. We're back on purpose, and we had anticipated that because we were doing the simultaneous broadcast, that we would not continue to talk about our purpose process that we started yesterday, and here we are, blessed, and that we get to continue that. And so we're going to move on to the topic of purpose in on Mind Shifters Radio. David, welcome.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm rocking along.
Good. I say, how are you today? It's like not like we haven't talked. This is the third or fourth time that we've talked. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting, the more that I work on my on staying present, the quicker the days go by. And as I'm on purpose with things and doing things in alignment with my higher guidance, it's like the day just goes so quickly, and recalling what when an event was, it's like, when was it, today or yesterday, or what was the conversation that we even had? So, yeah, it is great to be able to be back on talking about purpose, personal power, and commitment. Interesting enough how a couple of people have mentioned that to me just from yesterday to this particular time. It seems that it is just a real focus that's going on with people out there. With everyone. And it's nice to hear that there are people that are listening in, and I'll invite you to give us a call and to add your comments, your thoughts, your ideas. Again, you know, we've talked about that on many occasions, that when we have things in our mind and when we withhold doing any action towards it, it's just kind of an idea out there, and it's good, and you know, to see it differently, whether you might want to participate with it. So, and so it is with me, and today I'm doing fabulously, as moving things along here at Heartland, getting ready for the intensives. And just to let folks know, in case not aware of it, we do limit our each module of the intensive to 30 participants, and people are enrolling as we're enrolling for this. So if you feel that this is some action that you want to take to and to find out maybe your true purpose and intention, well, then sign up to come in and do the intensives and other workshops that Michael is doing now on the road.
Awesome. Yeah, if anybody's in South Florida, we've got four more evenings of workshops here at Unity in Pompano. There'll be free open evenings tonight, 7 to 9:30, and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. So anybody that might want to join us, that would be awesome. We'd be delighted to see you. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we're doing a mini-intensive here in Fort Lauderdale, so anybody that might be ready to participate in that, take your process to the next level, we'll be here Saturday and Sunday. We're actually going to go start at 9 in the morning on Saturday, finish at 9 in the evening, and then Sunday from 9 until 6. And then on Monday, Jeannie is going to drive up to St. Augustine, Florida, and I'm going to be flying to Cap Cay to do some work with some folks over in an island in the Bahamas for a week. And so I'm looking forward to that, of course, and all things are just rocking and moving forward.
Don't you feel sorry for him?
I'm really sad that I have to fly to the Bahamas, go to the Bahamas again, just, in, you know, so soon, and especially with it being, you know, I could be up north in freezing temperatures with ice and snow and all those sorts of things. I really, you know, lament and miss that.
Is this the forgiveness doctor or the truth doctor? One of the things that I was thinking about, Michael, and my purpose and intention is to support people in waking up. And waking up, as it's talked about, is to the vision, to a new vision of what it is that's going on. And when I'm inviting people to question and to come in to ask, it's because I'm always reminded of that learning scale that some people may be familiar with, is that we tend to remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see and hear, and our 50% of what we see and hear, and when 70% of when we're participating in a discussion or giving a talk, we retain that 70% of what it is that we're hearing and we're listening to, and 90% we do when there's a presentation or simulating the real experience of it. So it's great that people are on the radio show and listening. And, you know, can you imagine what it was like when, and you may be familiar with some old scenes of people standing around listening to the radio. They couldn't respond back to the radio. Can you imagine, though, the first time, it was one of the greatest discoveries was the radio in the last 100 years. I mean, it was a major. And so people are getting to hear this. Well, now you get to hear it, and you get to get feedback. You get to participate in it. And the more that you do that, the more that you get to grow, and you get to evolve and to see things.
Absolutely. Do you happen to have your your purpose statement handy, David?
If you'll give me a minute, well, then I'll get it together.
Why don't you dig it out and... For those who weren't with us yesterday and who are not familiar with the conversation, what I'll ask you to do is go to the website, www.whyagain.com, and as you go to the website, on the right-hand side, you'll see a thing that says Download Worksheet, and you might want to download that worksheet, and we'll go over it once again and how the purpose exercise works and look at primary and secondary purpose. But my first thought was that perhaps
Jeannie, if you would read your purpose again, share it with us, and David, do the same, and I'll do the same, and then we'll continue our discussion with that as a foundation and take things to the next level.
Okay.
So if you got it there, you want to go ahead? What's your purpose, David? What are you here for?
Oh, David, I thought you said Terry, and I thought, oh, good, Terry's on there too. Terry has got any
Terry is purpose, on David. The line, but...
Boy, you got that one there, Terry. Well, you know, I'm going to begin with my, when I wrote this about 5 years ago, maybe longer, I'm not sure, that my primary purpose, as you talk about, is to develop a viable, conscious, spiritual body. And that, to me, means an independent body capable of growth and development. And my secondary purpose is to use my talents of compassion, wisdom, humor, and my ability to teach by conducting seminars, lectures, and workshops on spiritual love, creating a world where every individual is in peace and harmony with his or her purpose in life. I now make choices, decisions, and behaviors that are congruent with my purpose. I'm loving, gentle, respectful in my purpose, and my purpose in life is love. And this is a little thing that I wrote as well. The only way up is when I'm enthusiastic about my life, about my purpose, and my evolution on the earth plane. When my desires to achieve and perceive and create more is greater than my ego's self-indulgence, obstinacy, and destructive ways, then and only then will I live my life as I'm living my purpose. That's it.
Cool. All right, and Jeannie, let's share yours with us, if you would.
Okay. Yes, he is. Let's switch screens here off of the switchboard. Okay, I now use my love for learning to search for truth and then use my teaching skills to share my understanding with those whose paths I cross. I now use my organizational administrative abilities to serve God, not man. Whether I listen or speak, work or play, wherever I go on this earth, whatever relationships are created, I will stay committed, fully aware, responsible, and connected to God. I will radiate the love in me to be a clear voice to my calling, so that my life produces a longing in others to follow in the way of truth, to live for God, and to likewise make a difference, to have such an impact on this planet that we create the shift toward love and truth and harmony as God originally created us to live.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, and I'll offer that my secondary purpose, and we'll talk about primary in a few minutes, but my secondary purpose is I now use my being, compassion, caring, processing capacity, and ability to nurture people along with my communication skills and ability to synthesize information, gently confront people to learn and teach true forgiveness on a planet-wide scale. As my beloved and I travel the planet, every interaction we have inspires each person who hears us to contact and express their highest creative abilities and being, so that together we create a world where each supports every other in full expression of their true essence and purpose. Defining and setting plans and goals supports full achievement of this purpose, and doing the things to carry it out while maintaining time for each other to play, to keep romance alive, and heal together is easy and automatic, and are supported by Rukka and all of life. Those who might not have been around the work for very long might wonder what that word is. Rukka, what is that? And in the ancient Aramaic, we were taught that there was an elemental force. It was a feminine force that, by definition, undid the effects of our errors and taught us the truth. So we each have this elemental force within us, which will never interfere with our free will, which will never disturb our choices. But when we make a request for assistance, we will receive assistance from that elemental force. In the ancient Aramaic, the full term that was used for that force was Rukka Dekudsha, or depending on pronunciations in the Hebrew, it was Racha Kodesh. And in the Aramaic, there was an understanding of things that in our culture we just don't even have a clue about. And what we're looking to do is to open up and get some clues and start to look at what goes beyond the beyond. I had an interesting experience last night. Someone had sent me a link to a video. And, you know, we've been teaching for three decades or so about the fact that our genetic patterns tend to govern and rule our lives. And that feelings, thoughts, emotions, and experiences are passed from generation to generation. And of course, that thinking is based on the ancient Aramaic, where they said things like, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. And the sins of the fathers will be passed, yea, unto three and four generations. And the word sin there being, in Aramaic, being an archery term, when you miss the target, when you miss the mark, you're off the mark. That's all. It doesn't mean anything that the Greek culture has given it. That stuff about sin and identity is all totally and completely out of alignment with the ancient teachings out of the Aramaic. But that we were stuck with the errors, the energies that came from generation to generation and had not been resolved. And if you look at the last part of that quote that says, that since the father passed ye into three and four generations, it says, yea, of those who hate me. And in Aramaic, they're hate, not being as in a love-hate relationship, but those who are separated. So here we hear the Creator, love, telling us that if we don't have direct relationship with love, direct experience of love, and I mean the active presence of an energetic field, then we're going to be stuck with generational issues. I'd invite everybody to make a note and Google the ghost in your genes. The ghost in your genes. And lo and behold, science has discovered that emotions, experiences, toxicities are passed to the next generation. They're very excited that they can now prove that and that they've discovered that idea that has been around for thousands of years. And, you know, there are so many things that we have yet to discover from that ancient Aramaic. Who knows what we don't know yet? For instance, this elemental force, Ruka Dukutcha. Who knows what else there is to be discovered in that Aramaic? And that's one of the projects we're working on, is to translate that ancient text called the Kabbalist Manuscript into the English language and come to understand exactly what was being spoken about there. And so as you listen and decide to do your work around the Aramaic ideas, you'll find that things start to shift and change, and science sooner or later catches up. And so that video, The Ghost in Your Genes, is catching up with the Aramaic teachings from thousands of years ago. So we invite you to take a look at that. And then when you come from a bloodline of people who don't function out of their higher purpose, when you come from a bloodline of people who simply go get jobs to make money, as most of us have been taught to do, then you function out of a bloodline of people who, because they sold themselves, as we've been taught to, and didn't function out of their our purpose, they die prematurely, very prematurely. And so when you recognize this connectedness, those who are separated from the presence of love, and of course, everybody describes the newborn child as love. That's the essential nature that everybody agrees. And then the world starts knocking it out of us just about as quickly as it can. And what we're looking to do with this work is to reestablish these Aramaic ideas, these Aramaic tools, and one of them being relationship with this force called Ruka, elemental force within us. The words in Greek were translated as Holy Spirit, but there's nothing to do with a disembodied spirit being. It speaks of an actual elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. And so part of the process, and as you look at your purpose and as you look at your work, might be to invite that force to assist you, to support you in doing whatever it is your true purpose is. And before we get into the first step in the worksheet, which is primary purpose, Jeannie, any questions in the chat room or any calls to answer?
No, everybody's just listening, and they're commenting, you know, on how they love the ancient Aramaic and just basically sitting back enjoying it.
Yeah, it was so awesome last night. I tapped into this video and watched it, and I several times burst out loud laughing because this is a discovery when it's been known for thousands of years. And there's so much that that we've lost out on, that we've missed out on, because we went from the Aramaic ideas and the Aramaic language into the Greek. And there's so many thoughts and so many words you can't even start to talk about in Greek that are expressed in Aramaic. And so this idea of the ghost in your genes is one that's an important one for us to be looking at and recognizing that the solution lies, if you listen, the solution is in that statement of the sins of the father will be passed yea into three and four generations of those who hate me, though, and that hate, again, being separated from, those who are not separated from the active presence of love aren't governed by their genes. And when genetic disorders, genetic propensities toward destruction come forward, if we maintain our relationship with love, then those energies will literally be transmuted. We'll be finished with them for ourselves and for all of our bloodline. We'll open the space for those in our past generations and those in our future generations to change those dynamics that seem like they are not changeable. And of course, science will probably take a while. There were two scientists who came up with this video and started to communicate kind of by accident. But I plan to communicate with both of them to let them know that it's really not a new idea. And by the way, there is a solution. And, you know, of course, science doesn't do very well at measuring a thing called love. Everybody on the planet knows if they hold a newborn what it is. But science, you know, kind of says, well, wait a minute, if I can't measure it, it can't be true. But there's a solution. There's a solution to being stuck in the genetic propensity to disease, the genetic propensity to not fulfill your purpose, the genetic propensity to function as hostility or fear instead of love, the genetic propensity to throw away direct relationship with love. And what we're looking to do is to reclaim that relationship, to reclaim our actual human lives. And part of that is to function out of our purpose. And so the primary purpose I offer, and of course this is just what I've come up with in my study and understanding, take it or leave it, try it out and see if it works for you, but my thesis is that the purpose of every human being on the planet is precisely identical, and that is to develop a viable, conscious, spiritual body. We all have precisely the same purpose. You know, in the ancient scriptures, they understood physics, they understood energy. The whole Aramaic language is a physics language. And you'll hear the word said that there's a spiritual body and there's a physical body, or so-called physical. And they knew exactly what they were talking about. They were saying that there are two levels of energy here. And nothing mystical about it, nothing religious about it, just that our true existence is in that realm that's called spiritual. It's another level of frequency. And as you recognize that, then you realize you have a body there. And, you know, the example I use in the workshop when I put this thought forward is, imagine we have a child in utero, and the child has to develop or participate in the building and the development of its body. And so imagine that along about 3 months in the womb, the child says, you know, this building of physical bodies, really a lot of work. It's more work than I want to do. I think I'll quit. I think I'll stop. And if you did that, of course, you know, 6 months later when the child is forcibly ejected from the womb, we're going to have a non-viable human being. We're not going to have a human body if it stopped development at 3 months. Fortunately, we don't have to participate in the development of our physiology. That's already set. That's programmed, that's structured vibratorily into our genes, and those genes, those frequencies tell how the system how to develop, how to open and build our physiology. Now, if something steps in, if something interferes with that process, for instance, one of the things that we're talking about with the ghost in your genes last night is that they could see the effect over several generations in a remote village in Sweden up near the Arctic Circle, where they would cycle in and out of famine. And so they went back into the graveyards and started looking at the generations and how a famine in a given generation would create abnormal cortisol levels and stress responses in the offspring and change the lifespan and the functioning of the offspring. And they started to take that into animal research. And so we see this generational impact. And if there's been a generational impact that has not been exposed to love, and it's the forgiveness process that allows you or supports you to do in doing that, then that genetic propensity will govern. So if, for instance, one has a genetic propensity toward heart disease or blood sugar problems, there's nothing permanent about that. There's nothing required that play out. But if we're separated from the active presence of love, and again, tap into what the active presence of love is by holding a newborn. Just go to that experience. And that's what you're designed to be experiencing 24/7, 365. Those who are separated from that are stuck with their genetics. Those who can bring those genetic propensities forward out of a hidden state, out of a dissociated state, into the active presence of love will mute those tendencies. They will literally transmute and change those frequencies and free the generations from it. So someone who has a genetic disorder, that disorder can be changed by bringing that gene forward in the active presence of love. My theory and my thesis about that is because the active presence of love is actually the Creator's mind, that whatever we humans have made up, whatever craziness we've gotten into, whatever silliness we've gotten into, whatever rages, fears, griefs, and pains we've gotten into, and whatever we've made up about that and out of that, once exposed to the Creator's mind, starts to dissolve. Because anything that's not in harmony or in resonance with love has no permanence. So those genetic propensities can be changed. And so the physiology develops according to what's structured there, and it's all changeable. So that's our thought about the development of the physical body. Now, what about the spiritual body? I would offer that that's not so automatic. That the development of the spiritual body is something that takes attention and effort from each individual. And when we give attention and effort to that, then we start to solidify and develop the faculties of that spiritual body. And the faculties of that spiritual body are basically fivefold. And through doing one's inner work, there's a practice that develops each of those faculties. There's an interesting story in the ancient Aramaic about David and Goliath. And Goliath was this seemingly impenetrable force, kind of like our genetics are when we don't have the tools, when we don't know how to do it. Gee, you know, if you have a genetic propensity toward heart disease, you better get checking with the doctor every year just to make sure it hasn't kicked in. Because, of course, you can't defeat that force. That's Goliath. The world wants us to believe that those things are not changeable. But there are spiritual faculties that if you practice them, through the practice of them, you will develop a viable spiritual body, a conscious spiritual body. And that, I'd offer, is the primary purpose of every human being. And when we fulfill that purpose, I suspect that we're going to get orders from headquarters as to what comes next. What's the next level? What's the next piece of work that each of us needs to do? And It takes the willingness to do that work. By the way, the five spiritual faculties, you'll remember that they talked about David attacking Goliath with five smooth stones. The way you take apart the Goliath in you, the part of you that seems unruly and impenetrable and unchangeable, is through five smooth stones. Smooth stones being practiced faculties. Now, obviously, if we were talking about a physical battle, when David went to face Goliath on the battlefield, he'd have probably picked the most jagged rocks he could, because that's obviously what would do the most damage. But no, he picked smooth stones. They were practiced faculties. And those faculties are that of will, of reason, of intuition, of imagination, and of true perception. Another show will get into those in more detail, but basically, as you do your work, and each, you know, when people ask a question in the intensives, well, Michael, how do we do this? How do we do that? What do we do about this? How do we do that? My answer is always the same. It's always all of the above. Every tool we teach is about developing those faculties. It's about undoing the things that never belonged, and it's about stepping into conscious creatorship in your life. And so developing those five smooth stones is how you create a viable conscious spiritual body. Primary purpose I would offer of every human being on the planet. If you don't have one, you got a problem. So any questions, thoughts in the chat room or call-ins or David or Terry? Terry, do you happen to have your purpose statement with you that you might share? We've each shared ours so far. I don't know if you're on at the very beginning of the call. Would you happen to have yours with you that you could share with us?
No, I don't.
Okay. Memorized well enough to just kick it out?
Well, I've been working on it, and the process that I've been applying to it is one of a refinement. It's like, how can I distill it down to a simple connector, you know, a simple mantra almost. So with the primary purpose, which developed in the Conscious Bible Spiritual Body, the word that I use to key myself into that is just love. You know,
yep.
Okay, love. And that's like the big anchor. Okay, love. That's my primary purpose, is love. Whatever it takes to get to that love and hooking into that, developing that, expanding that, you know, uncovering that, all the above as far as love. And then
right.
on my secondary purpose, what has evolved from that is to financially support my family, and family in the context of my immediate birth family and my family, which is humanity on this planet, and my family of every living organism on the planet, to financially support my family in achieving their primary purpose, which would be love.
Awesome. I know that when you've shared your purpose statement with us before in the secondary, it involves your building skills and your organizational skills and those strengths that you have that come forward so powerfully from you.
Yes, and there are those. There's the building, the artistic, the creative, the networking, connecting with people, and all of that that's within my secondary purpose. And once again, at this whole period of time, I'm looking at how to distill it, to bring it into a refined expression. So it's an ongoing process for me, too, and it certainly is.
Yeah, for sure. The worksheet that we're going to introduce, or that we introduced yesterday, is definitely an ongoing, continuous process. I suggest that people, once you complete the worksheet that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, that you actually put that down in a 3x5 card that you carry in your wallet or your purse, and every time that you have a choice to make about anything that's important in your life, especially even the less important things, but the important things, that you look at and compare and see if your behaviors, your choices, your words and actions are on purpose. This is part of personal power, and we're going to move in the direction of looking at the personal power component at some point in the show. I don't know whether we'll get to it today or we'll carry on through into tomorrow's show, but at this point, the primary purpose is clear, and I'll just put out or ask if anybody that's in the chat room or on the phone has a question about that, please.
We actually have a caller.
Oh,
so
cool.
First
so
one
forth.
Is Reverend Jane, and you're on the air, and then we have another caller after her.
Okay. Hi, Michael.
Well, hey there, St. Jane. How are you?
I'm doing okay. One of the things on your talk on the five stones, which I love, can you say what your concept of true perception is?
Yes. Oh, yeah,
okay.
That's a good question. Thank you. True perception, you know, when I say to somebody, don't think about the color of your car, brain cells fire. And, you know, most people say, well, yeah, now I'm thinking about the color of my car, and I offer that's not thinking. That's simply the cycling of information from the past. And so when our realities are made up by cycled information from the past, you know, I have an old relationship issue and my spouse gives me the look and all of a sudden the past comes in and I'm back in the same feelings, back in the same thoughts as, you know, way back with somebody else, and I'm projecting that that's got to do with today. That's totally false perception. That's just cycling garbage from the past. And so our perception, when there's hostility or fear, is defiled by the past. And that's false perception. However, when we engage in the forgiveness process and we get this, what we might call the body's mind, this multi-generational database, to shut up, and we collapse it often enough, and that's it's collapsed through forgiveness. It's what should I say? It weakens its control over us through forgiveness. Then you get to the point where you have a spiritual faculty with which you can reach directly to the experience that's actually happening in the moment without reference to the past, without reference to what's going on in your body's mind. And you bring that experience directly to awareness. And that would be my definition of true perception, that I'm actually having the direct experience of what's happening in this moment as opposed to just replaying things from the past.
Okay, being in the present.
That would be
then.
The difference. Being literally in the present, which means there is going to be the presence of love.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. We love you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. And caller from area code 484, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
484, you're coming through just kind of garbled like. I don't know if, can you try that one more time?
Yes, Melissa.
And I can't understand.
Yeah, sorry, 484. Maybe you can try calling back again and see if we can get a better connection, but we can't hear or understand anything that you're saying. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Please just hang up and try calling back and see if we can get a decent signal. Okay, while we're waiting to see if they can call back in, let's talk about the worksheet and the purpose, personal power and commitment worksheet. Again, you can go to the website, whyagain.com, whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says download worksheets. Click on that, and then scroll down until you get to the purpose worksheet. Click. You got a PDF you can print off, or you could look at it on your screen. And you see at the top is a statement of primary purpose, to develop a viable, conscious, spiritual body. And then secondary purpose is one that, because we've been brainwashed by the culture that doing your real purpose is not only impossible but stupid to even try, just go get a job, make money, most people never understand what their real function and purpose is in the world because the culture has brainwashed them out of it. I pointed out yesterday that we are the only creature on the planet that dies by the clock. 9 o'clock Monday morning is when most heart attacks happen, or at least a statistically significant number of heart attacks happen. Why? My thesis is that it's because That's when people give up and sell out themselves for money instead of functioning out of their purpose. And, you know, people say to me, geez, Michael, you know, I understand, and I was actually kind of counting up. I didn't say anything to you, Jeannie, this morning, but I was counting up, and in the last 60 days, we've done 38 workshops. Actually, pardon me, we've done 39 workshops. And it's been a pretty intense schedule, and people say, well, gee, doesn't that just get tiring? Doesn't that wear you out? Isn't that? It's like, no, we're on purpose. This is enlivening. This is empowering. Do we need time to rest? Yeah, it gets pretty intense. But at the same time, it is just so exciting to present these tools to people and watch the light go on as people wake up to, ah, I see, there is hope, there is something we can do. And so our primary purpose is, of course, that viable, conscious, spiritual body, and I chose to totally align. When I started to understand that, I chose to totally align the work that I did with that purpose. And basically, you know, Terry, you really simplified it. You brought it down to just the simple thing of love. And, yeah, that's what I've chosen to do with my life, is to learn, experience, and teach about how to achieve and recapture the original essence of our human lives. And so it is that alignment that brings personal power through to us. Those who are not aligned, those who have, you know, a little of their energy over here in the corner with hostility and a little more tied up with rage and a lot more tied up with blame and some tied up with grief and some, you know, they go off doing crazy things in their world that have nothing to do with human life. In fact, they're destructive, you know, partying and all the crazy stuff that people tend to get lost in. They wonder why they have no personal power, and it's because they're totally out of alignment with their being. And their purpose is not even in awareness. So, you know, whatever happens to present itself, they're pushed by the waves of energy that come across them in the culture. And as they do that, they tend to function unconsciously. And when we function unconsciously, we don't have the power level that we're designed to have. And so aligning primary and secondary purpose becomes a key in the process. And so our worksheet is a format for establishing what your secondary purpose is. Go ahead, sweetie.
Before you get into that, we have 484 has called back in, and then we also have a question in the chat room. But 484, let's see if we can hear you this time. You're not coming through. We can hear that you're trying to talk, but it's real garbled. We can't make out what you're saying. I don't know if you're using a headphone, if you can switch over to speakerphone or something like that, but we cannot understand you. So go into the chat room and type out for us.
Again, we can tell that you're trying to say something. Maybe, I assume you're probably on a cell and then maybe it's a weak signal, because that's what it sounds like. It's just a weak signal on the cell. Maybe if you could call us from a landline. I apologize, we can't hear you. We'd love to, but there's just no word comes here with any clarity. So the chat room is saying?
The chat room asked a question. How do you stay in the love when there are so many things to knock you out of it in your everyday life? I know the love you speak of and have found it many times. However, everyday life tends to always try to knock it out of you, sort of knocking you off of your cloud.
So my offering would be that that's a projection that life knocks it out of you. Life can't knock it out of you. However, life can show you the things that you're holding on to that you knocked yourself out of it with. So life cannot cause anything to happen inside of you. If you hold some form, and basically the things that take us out of love, out of our being, are hostility and fear. If you hold some form of hostility or fear, oh, life is going to show up and show you that in spades. But it's not life that's knocking you out of it. It's not what goes on in your world. It's what goes on inside of you. So what I would suggest is you go back to the website, www.whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side, go back to that download worksheets, and the second item on the page is a 7-step reality management worksheet. I would suggest that you download that worksheet, and you download the link above it, which is a set of instructions for how to do the forgiveness process. Or if you choose, you know, order a set of video or audio tapes that will explain the whole process. They're also on the website under products. But I'd suggest you start doing that worksheet process. And what will happen is the worksheet process will collapse the projection to come from what we call the dissociated mind. When I live in a space where I say, and the world knocks me out of it, I'm in denial that I have anything to do with it. When I go into denial, I disempower myself, and I create an artificial state called the dissociated mind. And, you know, there's a part of this that for many people gets old, because it always comes back to me. You mean they didn't make me mad? No, you're mad because you have mad in your structure. Yeah, but they made me frustrated. No, you're frustrated because you have frustration in your structure. So 100% of the time, it's always, always, always going to come back to you. I know that sometimes when I work with people personally, they'll get into a high state of frustration because they think that I'm saying that they're to blame. And this has got nothing to do with blame. It's just that you're feeling and you're experiencing a product of what's resonating inside of you. And so, you know, people will sometimes say to me, well, Michael, you're always turning it around and making it my fault. It's like, no, there's nothing to do with fault here. If you're feeling some form of hostility or fear, it's your responsibility. As long as you deny and dissociate from that responsibility, then anything and anybody in life can resonate that dissociated mind, and it seems that anything and everything would take you out of the state of love. When you start forgiving, and again, forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because of what's going on inside of you. Forgiveness is the tool with which you go inside yourself and change what's happening inside of you. And it's only what's inside of you that can take you out of the state of love. And so as you forgive those energies, those frequencies that take you out of love, more and more you'll be able to live in that experience of the direct active presence of love, which my thesis is we're designed to live in that 24/7, 365. And once we defile our temples, once we put something into our structures that does not belong in our structures, the purpose of life totally changes. And instead of aliveness, joy, and creativity, which is and love, which is our original, designed to be our original experience of life, the purpose of life becomes to kick us right square in the limitation, to show us what we're holding on to. And if we refuse that, then we tend to experience a lot of pain. And pain has this really awesome, wonderful purpose. It makes our ears grow. It gets us to the point where we finally start to go, oh, gee, I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe this is about me. And Michael would say, this is about you. When I go into my fear, into my rage, into my grief, into my irritation, into my upset, yep, it's always about me. Mine's always about me. Yours is always about you. And what we tend to do is want to blame each other for it instead of take responsibility. It's a big piece of learning to come out of a genetic system that has developed a total, complete, 100% projection language that they made me feel this. It is a major challenge to do that. And it's a major piece of work. But it's a piece of work that can be done with the tools. And basically, what I've dedicated the last 40 years of my life to is understanding what those tools are, especially from the Aramaic, developing them in a way that they can be taught and transferred. And that's what that worksheet process is. It's a tool not for letting other people off the hook, not for forgiving anybody. Please never forgive anybody for anything. Never forgive yourself for anything. Please don't ever do that. If somebody does something that's off base, pardon them. Let them off the hook. That's cool. You can actually unhook your brain's image, your pain from your brain's image of them, and improve relationship by letting them off the hook. But the next step is to do the forgiveness work, to go in and collapse the dissociated mind and its projections, and as you release that, you come back into direct relationship with your being. That means that you're going to be out of your mind, and that's ultimately where we want to go. And every tool I teach
everything we do in our intensives. We're going to do a 65-day intensive this summer. That's 65 days. Every tool in that 65 days is about how to do exactly the work that we're speaking of. That's why my kind of tongue-in-cheek answer is always all of the above. It might be the commitment from the Healing Through Relationships workshop. It might be the codependence worksheet that I invite somebody to do. It might be the reality management process. It might be the responsibility communication. It might be to breathe. There's a whole series of several dozen different tools. And they're all about doing exactly the same work, restoring you to your original essence love.
Okay. And we have another caller. I'm not sure if it's the same one that was trying to call in. This is area code 901. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Memphis. I'm listening to the show. I've been listening frequently.
They should be hard. I put some salt in there.
We have about 8 minutes. Do you have a question?
Okay. Well, I'm just listening in. The information is so profound. I am not in a position to ask a question. I wanted you all to know that because I noticed many people are not asking questions just because we're listening so hard and we're trying to learn. And I am just really look forward every day to the show coming on because I feel that it's the closest place that I've gotten to getting help. And I just love what you all are doing, and it's really helping me. And I feel like I'm going to make it now since I've found this information.
Oh, that's so awesome. I have goosebumps hearing you say that. Thank you for that input. And, you know, you're in Memphis. You're only about 5 hours from us there in Memphis. And so,
I know.
You might want to come and plan to do an intensive at Heartland this summer. We'll be doing several.
I am.
Actually, we're doing
when they said Arkansas,
days.
I thought, oh, my God, I'm not that far away. So I do plan
to
come.
Yeah, we're about a five-hour drive. We go to Memphis regularly, and there is a young lady in Memphis who's doing a support group. So we can put you in touch with her. If you want to give Jeannie your email address in the chat room, we'll email you a contact for the person who's running the support group in Memphis. And,
I'm not on my computer. I'm on the phone.
Email me then at Jeannie. That's Jeanie, jeannie@yagain.com.
Okay, let me get a pen. I'll listen back in the archives.
Okay.
But I will definitely love to get in contact with her because I feel like my help is here finally.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to be on the team, and we have a request in return for that, and that is that you invite others to participate and assist us in building this community. You know, if you go back into the ancient Aramaic where we hear the Greeks talking about the kingdom of God, like it's someplace off in the sky somewhere, in Aramaic, what that translates into is the community of love.
Well, how could I not share this? How
there
could
you
I
go.
Not?
Awesome. And what's your name?
My name is Lanice.
Okay, Lanice, it's a delight to meet you. I'm Michael, and we'll look forward to the future unfolding and us supporting you in the plot process.
Well, I'll be there. Thank you, and thanks for being available for me and others as well.
Awesome. Delighted. Well, blessings. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And Michael, you've got David raising his hand. He's got a question or a statement.
David, you got a thought for
us. Michael, Lanice, this is for you because when I heard you say that you're listening and that you don't have any questions or anything, I want to invite you to notice that just by you getting on the air, how much that reinforced and then opened up the space for you to learn even more. So it's unnecessary to have a question or a debate about it. Just what you did, that's a new level of participation. Through the new level of participation, I invite you to notice that then your level of understanding and a higher perception of what it is that's going on was opened up to you just by you participating.
Oh, thank you.
David. And by the way, David, I would invite you to, at this point, this would be a perfect place to talk a little bit about the game that you invented called Building the Brain Cells, which is an accountability game for people doing their work. And, you know, one of the challenges...
Michael, your speaker's going out or something. I don't know if the wind's hitting it or...
Okay. No, I don't have any wind up here. Is that any better?
It is.
It is? Okay. So one of the things that happens when we start to confront these generational energies that contain, in many cases, horrendous, horrendous amounts of trauma and pain, is that we confront that and those things start to surface and start to come into our faces. And the reason why the previous generations didn't deal with it and suppressed it, denied it, and hid it from themselves, was it was too painful. And so the courage to go through that pain and to come out the other side, and David invented a game to support people, especially when they go into resistance and say, well, you know, this is too much, I don't want to do this, that they play this game called Building the Brain Cells, where every day they're accountable to someone, and then once a week there's a special conference call for the people that are playing Building the Brain Cells. You want to tell us just briefly a little bit about Building the Brain Cells, David?
Yeah, it will be briefly. We only have a few minutes with that. And you can go to the website, go to games, and then go Building the Brain Cells and download and take a look at it. There's a PowerPoint presentation. There's information for to contact myself and or Terry Bowling in reference to playing the game. And in essence, the game, is, as Michael said, is for support to hold ourselves accountable. I know that on my own, my carbon-based memory, there's too much that's there for me to understand and to stay focused with, and with the support of other people and through my commitment of making an agreement and then keeping that agreement is what builds that connection in my brain for me to do it even more. And without that, then it takes a while. Kind of like along the theme what Michael talks about, the African proverb is that, you know, if I want to go quickly, go alone. If I want to go far, go together. When we combine our energies together on an energetic level and we live in an energetic universe, then that's reinforced. It's impossible to not tap into that resonance and to be part of it. So if you're interested in playing it, it will take you quicker than doing it on your own, and it'll take you further than doing it on your own. When we're on our own, well, then it's often repeating the same thing, and that's why is this happening to me again. And it just invites you to notice that each time that you've said that you're going to do something differently, I know that myself, and then I do the opposite, and or do the thing that I said I wouldn't do, which is then reinforcing it. And it is about connecting with other people and sharing what it is, the insights that they've got, much like what had happened with Denise a few minutes ago by sharing her experience of what she's getting from the radio talk show that then took her to a new level of insight. So that's as quick as I can make it. Your time is about to go. Back to you, Michael.
David. And so you can just jump on, again, www.whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side, there's a link for games. Go to the Building the Brain Cells game, and as David said, there's a PowerPoint there. We've just got a few seconds left, and so I'll just invite you to tap in again tomorrow. We'll be continuing our discussion about purpose, personal power, and commitment. If you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, in the Pompano area, we'll be there tonight through Friday, 7 to 9:30. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we'll be doing a mini intensive on forgiveness, functioning out of your true purpose. We're going to be doing this purpose process and the stress process, along with how to create the correct kind of stresses and mind shifters and still point breathing. And so we hold the space for you to have the absolute best year yet of your eternal life. We're delighted you're here. Please invite somebody. If you'd like to support us, you can go to the website and pop a donation and support us to keep this on the road and keep it going. Blessings. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Take care.
Bye.